Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, the only podcast that dares to ask the question, what if Mario real life? My name is Tommy Dasilo. I am one of your hosts. Hello and thank you for joining us. Sitting next to me is one of the other hosts. It's Ben Vanell.
What up, dog?
Oh, no. Also, we have the third hot seat over there. It's Adam Knox. We should mention we've done an episode for In the Future this morning.
Yes.
We then went out for some lunch. We've been in each other's company for a number of hours at this point.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, me and Knox were at a Bucks drinks last night, and man, I am fading fast.
I am starting to feel like I might die.
Hey, guys, you should be like me and not get invited.
So we got to catch up on some things from last week. Thank you to everyone who tuned into our Nintendo Switch hands-on episode.
Yeah, I think that's actually been our most popular episode so far.
I should hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Each episode more popular than the last.
What if our first one was still the most popular? That would be brutal.
Yeah. We've just been bleeding listeners every week.
So we should follow up on a couple of things. Like, a lot of people had questions and stuff that we didn't quite
questions
and queries.
There's been a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
On the socials. The socials have been lit up. Well, first of all, we should say a number of people pointed this out to us. This podcast is now featured on Nintendo Australia's official YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're in a video that they put together doing some Vox Pops at the event, which we should say, we did not know that that was for Nintendo.
Yeah.
No.
These two people came up to us and just shoved a microphone in our face.
Like, that isn't an endorsement from us. We're not getting paid. If they had paid us...
Oh, absolutely.
Totally. And we did sign a release, but nowhere did it say Nintendo Australia.
They didn't make it clear at all that it was... And I don't care, I should say, but I do think it's interesting. I just think it's funny that... Like, why would you not say, oh, this is for the... We just assumed they were some people from, like, a blog.
We assumed they were like us, media who are going to get some stuff for their, their channel.
If you can see that on their YouTube if you want. Tommy and I get some words in. Ben, they didn't include anything from.
Yeah. I think I wasn't as positive as you guys because I immediately said one positive thing and was like, I don't want anyone to see this. Like, I am only being nice to these people.
Well, I definitely, like, they put in, I think, I don't remember if I said it to her or if they cut it out. I think I said it at the time.
Yeah.
That I'm talking about the Rumble, the HD Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That hard dick Rumble, baby. Anyway, talking about how, it felt good and it'll base the Lords of Gravity. I think I remember saying, but I don't really know what that'll be useful for.
Yeah, yes.
And they cut that bit out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we didn't know that we were being...
Fucking left-wing media.
We thought we were being questioned for someone's independent news source.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it would not have in any way changed how positive I was about it because I'm an apologist till the very end.
Yes.
Little this guy over here, little Big Das, I get the last word in on this video.
Yeah.
And it's me asking them for a free console.
The only thing that you really meant.
Now, they've used that in this video. Do you think this is now an open invitation for me to follow up on this?
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah.
What do
get
you think?
One, get one for all of us. Get three.
No.
Why would you not?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be positive about it.
Yeah, but I'll have a free one.
I'll get you some free gravity that you kept fucking going on about in the video.
I've got plenty of fucking gravity.
I'll get you some balls you can feel around.
I've got enough balls as well.
How many?
They're the size of trash cans. I don't know why I immediately started thinking of junk, like rubbish. I guess junk. Yeah. Genitalia. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that was cool. That was a cool little coup for this podcast to be on that video. But yeah, we yeah, so we just kind of talked last week. We sort of described everything about the event. People kind of chiming in on the social medias. It's weird to me how it's a
Mario
lot of people,
real life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if? It's weird to me how people, like a lot of people have made it, have sort of said that we've dissuaded them from getting one, or at least getting one on day one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I walked away from that episode feeling, I didn't feel like we were particularly negative about it. I mean, we have some concerns about the demo of Zelda that we played.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Someone was tweeting at me directly going, no, you turned me off.
Yeah. I think that what we did is comment on the launch lineup.
Yeah.
And say the hardware feels nice, but we're worried about there being no games.
Having stuff to play.
That literally is my message, I think, though, is like, hey, you shouldn't probably buy one of these straight away.
Right.
There's no, like, wait and see how it pans out.
Yeah.
Like, this could very easily, be... when the 3DS came out, that dropped in price by like heaps within the first year.
Yeah.
That's going to have to happen again with this, I reckon.
Well, that happens with everything, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
No, I know, but like that happened like significantly quick to the point where with the 3DS, they like had to give people free games who bought them early.
They did the same thing with the Wii U. I think if you'd bought it at a certain time, you got a code for a free game.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like...
Until Mario, there's nothing that's on this that's really that much of a thing.
I understand the hesitation, but also to me, there is something thrilling about just really rolling the dice and going all in on day one.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Yeah. If you want to spin that gun barrel, then go
the thing
for
is,
it.
I mean, I have a PS4 now, and I was thinking, worst case scenario, if this ends up being the Wii U again in terms of how spaced out the game is, if all I end up with is a library of games that are as good as what I had on the Wii U, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I loved all the original games that I played on the Wii U, so I don't mind. I mean, it would be bad for them as a company, sure, but for me personally, if that's all I end up getting out of it and I can take those games with me, then cool. Yeah. But we should... A couple of people said, I think, got the impression when we were talking about switching it from the TV to handheld mode that it's just like a... Like someone referenced to me on Twitter when they bought out the 3DS XL and it was a bigger screen, but it was just the same pixels kind of scaled up.
Yeah, right.
So it looked a bit jagged. That's not what's happening here. No. It still looks like a great fluid console on the TV.
And it is rendering it at a high resolution, I'm pretty sure, in most cases. So,
I think a couple of people got the wrong impression because we all sort of said that we found it a bit... that Zelda looked a bit better in handheld mode.
Yeah, and the frame rate stuff, because someone mentioned that they were disappointed that it looked choppy. That was only Zelda.
Yeah.
Everything else ran great.
Yes.
But Zelda...
And again, we tried to stress this at the time, but it is worth saying again. That's a six-month-old build of the game that we were playing. So, who knows? Once it's out... And I will say, like, the concerns that I had where we were talking about just that demo that we played, my big worry with that game from day one has been that it's just going to feel very empty and not really have any personality to it. I've been watching a bunch of gameplay footage online, and I feel a lot better about it now having watched that. It does feel
I agree. I did the same thing. It's just that I couldn't help but react to what we played.
Yeah, totally. You're only reacting to what you've been given, but it's more an example of like I said at the time, I just don't think it's something that lends itself to being demoed for 20 minutes and being dropped in at the start. Like I think it's kind of meant to feel empty when you first come out of that cave because it's like, well, what's going on here? And then you stumble across stuff and it feels more lived in.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't get up to that bit.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, is it all this? Like, I don't know how...
That you need to spend 50 times more time with that game. 50 sets of 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I'm going to play it. 20 minutes at a time, take a break, go outside, stretch my legs, walk around.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Bill Trinan says, do not play for more than half an hour at a go.
Yeah.
Slippery
it's dangerous.
Bill.
Slippery Bill never would.
A lot of people reacting to Slippery Bill on the last episode. We've been sent a lot of pictures of him, a lot of memes. so thanks for the support on that little goal of mine of really bring Slippery Bill into the spotlight.
Hey, we should try and get him on the show someday.
I wonder if he'd be allowed to do it.
No, there's too much explicit language.
No, I don't mean from the company. I mean, would his wife let him out of the house to come and do this podcast? if it's after 5 p.m., he will not be allowed out. He has curfew.
With Zelda, I saw something the other day that was, I guess somebody maybe looked at the like guidebook or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And it had like numbers of like, here's how many of these side dungeons and stuff there are. And they were big numbers. I don't remember right. them, but big numbers right up there.
We all looked at a map comparison in the past week where Zelda is like, like 10 times bigger than Skyrim or something.
But then but that shit, like, oh, yeah,
it's like
know.
The same size as The Witcher 3,
The point is,
basically.
We're not reviewing that game or anything yet. Yeah. We're all going to play that on whatever thing we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people were a bit more interested in how it felt.
Yeah, yeah.
In handheld mode.
What did we focus on? A helicopter and the cookie that we ate at the start. So we didn't really get into what it was like to play it.
Yeah.
I got given a cider as well. And now that I've decided to never drink again, that's actually kind of a haunting memory.
Oh, okay. So let's not talk about the Nintendo Switch event.
I'm only going to drink juice from now on, like old Slippery Bill.
Nice.
Nice.
A nice juice to wind down after the day's.
A wine? Oh, sounds good.
No, wined.
Yeah, red wine, please.
I think it feels cool. I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of it in handheld mode. I actually think I'll end up using it in handheld mode a lot more, even just when I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the idea of, you know, being able to lie on my bed and play it. Like, because, yeah, like, that was kind of the promise of the Wii U.
Yeah.
But the gamepad doesn't reach more than about a foot.
Yeah.
So, like, I literally don't think it reaches from, like, my bedroom here is next door to the living room.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it reaches in there.
It's weird that in the last week it's come out that, like, yeah, there's not going to be Netflix on this. There's not going to be this and that. Like,
well, no, they haven't said that there won't be. They're just at launch. They have there's no concrete plans for it yet. I wouldn't mind betting in. The Wii U was kind of the same thing. Like, I wouldn't mind betting in 6 months.
I wonder if it kind of feels like maybe they're trying to race this thing out. Like maybe it isn't completely cooked up yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do think it was just a case of, like, they just need to, like, financial year-wise, like, what did they... Apart, I mean, mobile games and stuff did well for them in 2016, but they didn't put anything... They put barely anything out in 2016. So I think it's just a case of just needing to get back into the market. But also, That's the culture of games now. I mean, Street Fighter launches with barely any of the modes in it. I'm not saying I'm not saying that as a defense.
Yeah.
I just think it's like weird how people have just become okay with that now. So you're sort of operating in a different in a different world.
It's just weird because then like, okay, cool. You know, it's not at launch, but hey, maybe you can download it later onto your 32 gigabytes of space that you have here.
It's kind of, but also it's like it just takes no effort to just have Netflix on there.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah.
Why not have it in there day one? It's
there's R-rated films on Netflix. Maybe that's why.
Oh.
But
there is parental control.
Too scary.
Mm.
You can get Netflix on the Wii U. Like, they clearly don't have a problem with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all weird. The storage stuff is all weird. But how did you guys find it to hold?
I thought the Pro controller felt like a normal controller. It was fine. It was good. I liked playing it in handheld mode. The Joy-Cons were pretty small. I guess I'll just not play, like, the games where you only use one.
Yeah.
I'll just avoid that. And the motion stuff was cool with arms, so, like... In terms of the hardware, I like it. I think it's really good. I have no concerns about that.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm impressed by it more than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
It's just the games library I'm worried about.
I realized the weight of it. I thought it was quite heavy, but of course they had those fucking
big
metal, like,
security chains.
Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels
like... And I'm
going
to attach one of them to mine.
Because you like it to feel heavy.
Yeah. I want to put some weights on there, start doing bicep curls with a Switch.
Hey, that's not bad.
Hey, 50 reps at 20 minutes to go. That's an exercise regime.
Then get upside and walk around. Wear the wrist strap.
Have you
ever actually worn a wrist strap for any of the Nintendo stuff?
Yes, I told you guys the last time we discussed it. I used to wear it when I would play the Wii Sports games.
I've forgotten that about you.
I was blocking it out.
It'd slip out of my hand.
Ugh.
Especially
live a little.
I think I said this last week, but I went back and played the Wii U the day after, and like, it's just daylight between the Switch and the Wii U gamepad. Like, it just feels plastic and very hollow. This feels
the
like
the Wii U one does.
We've said it so many times now, but it feels like an Apple product, which I think is a really smart move.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know what? The thing I was trying to remember is that, you know, for us, it's like I kind of feel like they're screwing up the launch just because it's not exactly what I want it to be. But I think in reality, like, you know, it probably does make a lot of sense. Like, I think there's the strategy of saying Mario Odyssey is out at the end of the year is just like them trying to assure people, hey, the same thing's not going to happen as the Wii U. Like, it's not just going to, we're not going to bring it out and then not announce anything for 8 months. So I don't know. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly.
Just because something isn't exactly what you want it to be, it's tempting to go, oh, they fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of to sort of look at it really from their perspective and go, well, what are they trying to do with this?
Like, totally. But it was also my fault. It was my fault. Yeah. I shouldn't have said anything.
There is also the perspective that what we want it to be, what we exactly want it to be is good enough.
Yeah.
We don't want it to be amazing. We just want enough games to want to play it.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I guess there's been a couple of little more bits and pieces trickling out, but nothing like really substantial.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's out in almost a month.
Oh,
yeah.
So they did a direct last week.
Fire Emblem,
where they announced
right?
a new Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
And that gives me hope. The fact that that sort of stuff is just going to slowly trickle
just
out
just
now.
Keep like, happening.
I mean, that launch video isn't, you know, clearly isn't going to be the be all and end all of this year. Like, there will be other stuff kind of filtering out. Did we talk about this last week about how Yooka-Laylee is out like in April and like that? I think that's kind of going to end up being...
There's a multiplayer mode in that now.
Is there really?
Right.
I think that's going to end up being the de facto kind of first big Switch release, because I'm really excited for that game. I was planning to just buy it on the PS4, but then, you know, as soon as I have a choice between the PS4 or the Switch, well, I'm going to go the Switch version so I can play it on the go.
It's just a shame because, again, it looks like with the Wii U stuff, you won't have that choice very often. You know,
Because people aren't developing at the same time. Sure. Yeah, sure. But, you know, that just all depends on how many units they shift.
Yeah.
Life's full of disappointments, man. Damn.
Yeah. I even though I'm not like hell bent on getting a Switch, I would prefer to play something like Yooka-Laylee on the Switch. So that was a cool thing to remember. Yeah.
For sure. And that's kind of a valuable asset. Like, it's worth remembering.
Yeah.
We went through a phase. Well, I went through a phase like last couple of months of last year. There was a lot of games coming out. I was buying stuff every week and, you know, really making an effort to kind of, you know, have played all the big releases of the week to be able to come in here and talk about and keep the listener to inform. Informed. I'm happy to announce the 2017. I'm back on my bullshit. Gravity Rush 2, a game that I've been hyping up for months, is out and I have not bought or played it. I'm back, everyone.
Oh,
I'm
great.
Back to not playing games in a timely fashion.
The year of Luigi again. Me too. I haven't played jack shit lately.
Yeah.
We're all very, very busy at the moment.
Yeah. We're all busy. It's summer, man. I'm outside.
I'm surfing. I'm catching them sweet waves.
Let's do a special episode about the beach. We did a whole episode about the Switch Hands-On event. Let's all go to the beach together and then just talk about that for a whole episode.
Why'd you wear jeans, Adam? Well, let me tell you about body shaming.
Oh, dear.
So we haven't really been playing anything. So we thought we would catch up on some listener feedback and questions and stuff that we had.
Yep.
What do we got?
So we have a question here from Rob. He says,
Robbo!
He's actually from England, so... Hey, Bobby.
Rob. Hey.
Hello, Bobby.
Hey, up. Oi, oi.
So he sent us in a question to inspire a bit of banter, has he?
Exactly. It's Rob Austin Powers. Is his full name?
No, it's Rob not. Austin Powers.
Great bit.
So Rob asks...
That's your entire like ethos around comedy writing, isn't it? Rob Austin Powers.
Yes, exactly.
What if Austin Powers was real life?
Sorry. Whoa. Does that sound like the theme
sounds
song?
Like a great seal. Can I ask the question?
Yeah. What's Rob got to say?
He says, after a surge of patriotism throughout the world, with the might of Lord Trump and the unstoppable force that is Brexit...
Okay.
This is right in line with your views, Knox.
Yeah, no, I agree. Punch me. It's allowed.
Do you guys have any favourite Australian games? Is there even an Australian games industry?
Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. Uh-huh. That's the only one. Yeah, there are Australian games.
I actually filmed a little segment for the weekly like 6 months ago, which is going to be on in like the next month.
Oh, right.
It was with Ronnie Chang and they just did it quickly with him while he was in the country and just have been sitting on it to the point where I forgot that I can kind of put the weekly on my festival poster until very recently. But it was, he went and interviewed someone who runs a games development company here, and it's the studio that did the Wii U port of Twilight Princess.
Oh, right.
And so they Their office is very weird. Like, when we went in there, it was, like, empty because they weren't working on anything at the moment. Like, they kind of just get skeleton crews in when they have a big project.
Yeah.
But they've kind of stayed afloat by making a lot of licensed games that have been... Like, they made the Game Boy Color version of Polar Express.
Oh.
All these, like, framed posters. That, like, they made... They helped make South Park Rally.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
okay. Yes, and he was... Yeah,
I think the
was,
ones... That, did they do the Bioshock... remaster
I
thing?
Don't know. Oh. I'm not sure.
I think that might have been an Australian company
but
as
I
well.
But I found they were very into it because he was sort of saying like they had to take on a whole bunch of... They nearly went bankrupt at one point and they just had to take on all these like kind of shitty licensed things that mm-hmm. they kind of knew were probably not going to be very well received. But
yeah, what are
they,
you going to do?
And I think he... Oh, what was the story he told me about South Park Rally where he was like... He read something that Matt and Trey hated it and he was like, no. But yeah, really, really nice dude and really interesting to just find out about that. That kind of arm of stuff because it doesn't really happen here that much. Was L.A. Noir?
Yeah.
That was that, Bond, was that, what were they called? Team Bondi.
Team Bondi. And it was like them and some American group, but I think the American or like the rock star people came in and like saved the project later in some capacity.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I guess they were Australian. Then they shut down immediately after it came out, right?
Right.
Yeah, something they just, like they underpaid all their staff and stuff like
just
that.
Blew up
the
office and walked away.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Half Brick, that studio that
Fruit
Ninja and stuff,
right? Jetpack Joyride is them as well.
Yep. Jetpack Joyride's
successful.
Really good.
Yeah.
I like
Jetpack
that.
Joyride's great. Yeah. What was
I've
the question?
I've got a list.
list things from this country. Well, Paul Hogan.
So I have a list of Australian video games here.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want me to go down and read some notable ones?
AFL Live.
Oh, yes. Isn't there a Don Bradman game that's just come out?
Yes.
There's never been a good AFL game to my knowledge.
AFL Live was the closest it's come. It was like fine. I enjoyed it.
There should be. Imagine if they did. How good would it be if there was an AFL game that was good, like FIFA level, where they put in, like, imagine if they did one with a story mode like they did in the newest FIFA.
Would you just that'd be pissing great. On windows and, like, getting done for drugs charges?
Mad Mondays.
Okay, so we got, that Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Oh,
that was some Australian company. God, we're knowledgeable. The Bureau, XCOM Declassified.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh.
Which one?
I don't know. It just
he's
Beavis
just talking to you and me, Tommy.
some Carmageddon game.
There's no third Beavis and Butthead, Knox. You can't do it as well.
Adam
I'm Bastard. Beavis, Butthead, and Bastard. What would they call a third Beavis and Butthead character?
Bingo.
Cunt lip.
Because Butthead, so you've got to you've got to escalate each time.
That'd be it. D Blob.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Don Bradman cricket 14 and 17.
Great.
I don't know what happened in 15 and 16.
Yeah, what are they doing for those 2 years in between?
Just resting on their laurels from 14.
I mean, 14 was so fucking good that we needn't bother.
I don't know, a bunch of shit here. Like, there's a bunch of games I've never heard of.
Was this guy asking us what is our favourite Australian one that's
coming out? Is the Horace series?
What's that?
A series of games about a dude named Horace, I have to assume.
I always wanted to play De Blob. I heard De Blob was really good at the time. It was one of the...
Was that kind of like a Splatoon?
Spielberg involved with De Blob?
What?
I'm pretty sure Steven Spielberg was in some way... Maybe I'm thinking of Boom Blocks.
Maybe.
Steven Spielberg.
Who knows what the fuck you're thinking?
Well, no, Steven Spielberg was involved in, so he finally went, all right, I'm transferring into the world of video games.
Oh.
And then it was like Tetris. There like wasn't a story to it.
Right.
Wasn't it weird in the 90s when there were all those cartoons made by the same studio that all had Steven Spielberg presents Animaniacs?
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I always remember thinking, what did this motherfucker have to do with this show?
Steven Spielberg
seriously.
Doesn't have a clue what Freakazoid is.
Freakazoid, Tiny Toon Adventures.
Right.
Yeah.
Animaniacs.
Tiny Toon Adventures.
And there was
time to hit the road.
And there was a history one. It was like making history kind of interesting like cartoon. Anyway.
Oh, like we've gone back in time, but this time Hitler's a dog or whatever.
That sort of stuff, yeah.
Wishbone.
Sure.
That was not about history as well. That was about like...
Weird. That's such a weird thing to just have him... as if a kid gives a shit about the director of E.T. who they probably don't... It's not like at that age you like know who that... You're not interested in directors and who they are.
Yeah, or know what the fuck a producer is.
Mm. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't know the meaning of any words for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, I learned them eventually. When I was one, never mind, that was going to be a boring story.
De Blob, I think I remember De Blob coming out pretty early in the Wii life cycle.
So De Blob,
and it being sort of a sort of a de facto, like, there's not a Mario out yet, but this is like a kind of a 3D platformer with a cool little mechanic.
It was a little like Splatoon in the
That's what I was going to say, was that you're painting stuff and
tagging,
solving puzzles.
Basically. You were tagging. Yeah.
Look up old De Blob, and then I do know there was a sequel. But yeah, I'd forgotten that was Australian. I guess that's one of the bigger Australian
party golf.
Well, Fruit Ninja is probably the biggest Australian game of all time.
Sure.
Yeah. Rugby League Live.
Oh, yeah.
Rocket Power Beach Bandits.
What?
Fuck yeah. Samurai Warrior, The Battles of Usagi Yojimbo.
So basically, there's not a huge Australian games industry.
The Dish, the video game.
You can get the Blob on your iPhone.
I don't believe that Australia is going particularly well, especially at the moment with video game developing stuff, which is weird because, like, when countries do have even one successful video game developer, they seem to get really behind them. Like Poland with CD Projekt Red, who make The Witcher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They've
yep.
given them huge multi-million dollar grants and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seems like something that is... It's obviously a real profitable business. I don't know why Australia doesn't have a huge number of people doing
it. So, I know Canada doesn't have a lot of video game developers. Like, they have, like... one, and they made like Citizens of Earth, which is like a PSN game, went okay. But again, it's like a lot of the Canadian developers, I don't know why I've read about this, but I have, do what Australia does and work on like shitty licensed projects because they have people going to like learning how to be developers, and that's the only jobs they get.
I mean,
have.
It's weird because you can study games development at uni, and like, I don't know, what are they telling you? Like, honestly, what's your career path when you come out of it?
Yeah.
Like,
good evening, students. Welcome to the first lecture for the year. What if Mario real life?
That's great. That's your thesis. You get to do your master's in games development. What was the next question? I mean, we've answered that one. We've busted it wide
open.
Yeah,
what were our favorite Australian video games? None. Yeah.
Fruit Ninja, and that's it.
Basically, and Jetpack Joyride, like I got it on, I think, the PS3 as like a downloadable game, and like played it a lot. It's really, really fun.
I would love it if like there was something that happened. Like sometimes, you know, the countries do those incentive things of like, all right, we'll tax you a little bit less if you move over here.
Yeah.
Get all the game developers down to Australia. Get them on the show. Mr. Kojima, we're happy to talk to you anytime.
Is that the end of that sentence?
I'm waiting for the call from Mr. Kojima.
I feel like when I was in uni, there was a incentive program for games developer students, and like there was a government thing, and like there was that kind of push, and nothing ever happened with it.
Yeah.
Like Acme was involved, and I was like, I think I was studying arts, and I was like, should I do this? Because I love video games.
What was the Fruit Ninja thing again?
The studio?
Yeah.
Half Brick.
Didn't they fall apart recently as well?
I know a bunch of people left.
Yeah.
There was a big feud between the two co-founders.
Right.
And one of them left, I think.
You should cut the fruit horizontally.
Which also,
radically.
This was news this week. That also happened to the studio that made Inside.
Yeah.
That's what we're all talking about. It sounds like a really messy split, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like the co-founder, I guess, again, right?
Yeah.
And he was
kind
of paid out to leave.
Yeah. And
yeah.
They had some huge dispute over when to release Inside or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird because, like, out of every sort of artistic medium, games are probably the easiest to forget the people are involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you play a game and you're not thinking, like, oh, you know, someone named Jason did this.
Yeah.
But...
you're right. I mean, when you watch a Wes Anderson film, it's like, oh, Wes.
Yeah,
everything's pink.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
it's not like...
That is in the middle of the frame, Wes. Well done.
Like when you play a Mario game, you're sort of not going, oh, this is classic Big Chiggy.
Yeah.
You're going,
oh,
I'm back in the world of Mario.
Yeah.
Totally. And like it's something that's, I guess because there isn't as much coverage of it, is why. Like, there aren't that many people going and interviewing heads of studios and stuff. It just doesn't happen a huge amount of time. So it's always really interesting to me, the idea that there can be these, like, big decisions that people had these feuds over in something like Inside. Like, I wonder what it was. Like, he's like, this game looks bad.
Yeah.
It's got no color in it. What are you doing? And the other guy's like, nah, it's arty, man. Like, those little petty
fights. The troll
fights,
thing in the water scares me. Get rid of it.
We should call it Outside. You spend most of the game outside.
But then, I think what tends to happen
is a horrible version of What If Mario Real Life.
Like, you'll collaborate creatively very well, and then something starts to make money, and I think that's the point where people are like,
definitely.
That's when the disagreements come into it.
Definitely.
People are weird, man. People are crazy.
You should just do what we do and never actually make money.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be friends before you start and you'll be fine. There's no crumbling of a friendship that's going to affect you.
Yeah, you can't Lennon and McCartney if you always hated each other.
What else did people...
So Jason, speaking of Jason, someone named Jason.
Hey, Jason! Whoop. Whoop.
Oh, my God.
I really feel bad today.
Yeah. We're all in a bit of a state. Oh, by the way, we should mention we've got the fan on in this room because it's really hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Worth mentioning half an hour and if people can hear that in the background.
Yeah, if you've heard the noise of huge gusts of wind.
Jason says, hey, guys, big fan. Thanks. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Do you guys own
Until
any...
Until today.
Do you guys own any special editions of games? Or a special edition of anything game-related, which is a very vague question now.
Do we own a special edition of anything?
Of game-related.
Anything game-related, okay.
Still vague.
Yeah, you know what? I used to be a real sucker for it. Whatever the most expensive version is that's got all the free stuff included in it, well, I'm shortchanging my experience if I don't get that. Yeah. And then I came around 2 years ago and I woke up, man. I was like, nah, I'm getting, I delight in getting, pushing aside the fucking steelbook cover.
Yep.
And getting the one that's $60.
None
of this bullshit with a statue in it.
Crazy shit with like digital games and how they'll do a special edition. It's like, oh, you've given me some JPEGs as well?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That was worth my $900.
I
might have gotten scammed.
The... Sonic Mania is coming out in like a special edition that comes with like a little statue of Sonic like standing on a replica Mega Drive.
Oh,
and I'm
cool.
Kind of tempted by that because I think that looks really cool.
The Zelda one looks good too. It comes with like a cloth map and like a big Master Sword thing.
What?
You could use
it. Imagine wiping your dick with all of Hyrule.
Saint Zora's domain anymore. I don't want it. I'm only going to...
I've just saved you money.
Yeah, and
that
like,
thing's like $120 bucks.
I actually don't like the look of steel cases and stuff.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
they
look shitty.
Yeah. There was, I think, like, once you like move house after a while and you go through all your stuff and you realize what you are just happy to throw out.
Yeah.
And if a lot of that is like, shitty special edition like statues that have been gathering dust and like map, like video game maps that came in the box that you're like, oh, I kind of just want to take that off the wall and
that
throw it in the bin.
Special edition shit where it's like, hey, get this one and it comes with the bonus fucking weapons pack. It's like, that I find a bit gross. Like,
DLC
sucks. After a certain amount of time to kind of keep the game fresh and interesting.
The ones
cool,
where it's like, you can only get this fucking dumb sword at JB Hi-Fi, baby.
Yeah.
JB's the only one. We got your back, mate. We got a shit sword.
Yeah.
It's 12 numbers that you've got to type into your fucking PlayStation.
JB Hi-Fi, the only exclusive
that's what I reckon
they should
JB
have
JB
in
House,
games
honestly.
Is the only exclusive weapons that you should unlock in a game from buying it at JB Hi-Fi is just... the big sheets of glass from their ads that you just throw at enemies in the game. It's just, and it's got like fucking 50% off TVs, this big yellow plane of glass, and you chuck it at your enemies, and it makes the JB Hi-Fi window smashing sound from the ads.
50% off into. Your body.
Every time you kill someone, JB, you've done it again.
That would be great. I would never buy anything from JB if that was the case.
I don't like all the crap that like... just that gathers there. You do get to a point where you're like, fuck, I got to get rid of some of this shit. That being said, when it's really good, it is really appealing.
Yeah.
Like so, I want a, like I would kind of like to get a thing of Treecko from The Last Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon that thing looks sick and I really like the way, it was used in the game. That's something I would have. Like, it's. I guess I'm just saying things that appeal to me.
Totally. I was gonna bring up it as well. Like, I recently had the urge. I think I was reading the Final Fantasy VII oral history on Polygon, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'd like a figure, like a proper, like not a toy, but a figurine or a statue of
it's
one of those.
It's not a toy. It's not a toy. I'd like
it's
a figurine.
A toy. It's not a toy.
Yeah, I talk to it sometimes. You've got to get your thoughts out.
But like having a figurine or a statue or something from a game that you've loved for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's, you're not going to just chuck that out when you move. That's, yeah. That is something you will treasure.
Well, those, I mean, like, you know, nicely... I barely use them in games, but I love the amiibo. Like,
right.
When they bring out a new character that I have fond memories of, I'm like, oh, cool. I've got like them all just along like one mantelpiece in my room.
Yeah.
It looks real cool in there, man.
There was just in like the late 2000s, I guess, a real spate of bullshit coming with games.
Yeah.
Like, Call of Duty games did it in particular. It's like, get yourself a fucking drone.
Yeah.
We put a drone in here. It's going to break. It's really poorly made, but we're going to charge you $90 for it.
That'd Extra. Be amazing if all of a sudden everything started coming with a drone.
Yeah.
Fuck, I should buy this for the show. I saw in EB the other day, they've got they've got a drone that's Mario Kart themed.
Really?
So it's just Mario sitting in the middle of this helicopter.
Oh,
something
fuck.
About that I find hilarious.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the special edition stuff is just very rarely worth the money.
Yeah,
totally.
That weird thing that started happening last year as well is like, buy the super premium enhanced deluxe edition and you can play a few days early, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird. Like, Battlefield did that.
Yes, it was like $200.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I think something else did it as well. Maybe Titanfall or Call of Duty or something.
Yeah.
But hey, we did this to ourselves. Shit. Someone pulls some bullshit, enough people respond, and then they go, hey, this is worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in answer to your question,
yes,
do we have any special edition stuff? No, we fucking hate it and we hate the concept and we hate you for sending us this question.
Yeah, Jason, go fuck yourself.
You're all right, Jason.
Jason and the Argo fuck yourself, Norse.
So we got a question here from Jim. Jim says,
Jimbo!
My name is Jim.
Does he really?
Yes.
That's great. God bless you, you sweet boy.
He's 25. He's from Boston, Massachusetts. Anyone want to do the accent?
Oh. No, wait, hold on. Boston.
Is this a cover letter? He's really letting us know a lot of detail.
Cram. Cram from Spider Bay.
Boston. Fucking Boston.
Boston.
Oh, you want to come over here and fucking Mystic River? That's
sure.
In Boston, right?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't like that movie.
All right. The
Were you in a gym?
So, here is Jim's letter. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is my favorite video game of all time. I also think it is objectively the greatest video game of all time on all, on all fronts.
Big Jimbo!
From level to puzzle design, gameplay mechanics, world building, scope, music, sound design, and the 3DS remake of it only improved on perfection.
Jesus
well, that's,
Christ.
That's impossible.
You Bostonians don't fuck around.
So he's saying, objectively speaking, in every one of those categories, it is the best.
Yeah. If an alien
objectively
came to
speaking.
Earth, if an alien showed up, it could logically deduce that Ocarina of Time is the greatest video game because it's an objective fact.
But then the 3DS version improved on it.
Yeah.
So Jim says, I play Ocarina of Time yearly and it's never not entertaining to me. And the amount of memories I get from the game are incredible. From being introduced to the game by my cousins to using my first communion money to buy an N64 and the game. Do you guys ever get those feelings of great nostalgia playing a game? I sometimes get sad playing the game, knowing how much I've grown up since I first played it.
Oh my god.
It's almost a milestone. I used to look back on those days of my life when things were simpler.
That is some Mystic River bullshit.
So basically,
it's worth noting that it is the middle of winter in Boston at the moment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's, the climate is very much affecting the tone of this.
So yeah, what do you, nostalgia has become a big thing in marketing, in video games, in movies, in TV shows.
It's it's kind of the number one driving force behind almost everything now, right?
Like, yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Yeah. Like the cinematic landscape is all reboots, adaptations, and sequels.
Sure. It's weird because people always say it's nostalgia, but like, what is the difference between that and the fact that everyone always does Shakespeare plays? You know?
Well, Shakespeare plays objectively the best plays of all time in every category, from scope to world building.
The 3DS version of Hamlet.
And the Baz Luhrmann version. Yes.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That would be like, great. Getting stuck into someone who wants to go to Shakespeare, and just go to see a Shakespeare play performed by your local theatre company, and just like really getting stuck into them. Like, give this nostalgia bullshit a rest.
We get it. You were a teenager in the 1490s.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Is that when Shakespeare was alive, the 1490s?
I don't remember. I should remember.
But you just got paranoid because you know a podcast audience.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to get picked up on anything.
I know the two of you. When I said Noam Chomsky, but it sounded a bit like Norm, and it sounds like I'm saying chomp because of the way I speak, because of my floppy lips.
Nice.
Oh, God.
That, you know.
Beavis, Butthead, and floppy lips.
The power of nostalgia, like, I mean, I don't know, it kind of gets...
It's the power of nostalgia.
It kind of gets written off as, like, the only reason you like this thing is because of those feelings that you have attached to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, generally speaking, it's those things are good in the first... Like, so when he plays Ocarina of Time now,
1600s.
Sure, nostalgia is a lot of it. It's reminding him of those good times. But, you know, it still is a great game. Like, it's not like it's not a good game.
387 years before I was born.
Yep. I agree that, like, it's hard to know. You can never imagine what it would be like to play Ocarina of Time, for example, for the first time now, and whether it would still be good.
But it's so weird how people now treat it like it's this bad... Like, so every now and then I'll play Yoshi's Island for a little bit. I kind of don't have the inclination to go all the way through, but I remember getting my own Super Nintendo for Christmas and Yoshi's Island coming packed in and being so excited, and that is like a legitimately great game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sit and play it for an hour, and it reminds me of being a little kid and that excitement of opening up the box on Christmas morning. And you know, that kind, you don't really get that kind of similar thrill, like the thrill of getting like a big awesome surprise gift when you're a little kid.
Yeah,
there's nothing that's really that transferable though, like similar to it in adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally just sit down and have a little rush of like remembering being a kid, and that's kind of all I need from it.
Sure,
like,
there's nothing wrong with feeling happy momentarily because of a nice memory.
The only reason you like that now is because of nostalgia. It's like, yeah, so what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
well, have you got all these photo albums, Grandma?
Yeah.
Live in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, in the now. Don't live in the past.
Well, interesting.
Grandma, help.
Falling down a well.
In the Facebook group about games that we're in, someone was asking the other day about old LucasArts games and going like, are these games legitimately good if you play them now?
Hmm.
And not played them. And the consensus that we all kind of reached was they're very much of their time. And I think if you went in, say, on Day of the Tentacle now with no content, having never played a point-and-click game before, having not grown up on them, would you find it fun and interesting and funny? Or, you know, would you just be going... Because games like that, apart from the Telltale games...
Mm-hmm.
Games don't really get made like that anymore.
I mean, I remember at the time, people complained about that shit.
Really?
Right.
Like, I remember Curse of the Monkey Island.
The Curse of Monkey Island.
Grandma, help! I remember people complaining about, like, some of the puzzles are just sort of arbitrary. Like, there's no logical reason to do this. It's just what happens to be the solution.
Sure.
Yes.
People knew that shit all the time. I think the comedy ages more poorly than any other form of...
Yep.
Creation,
yeah.
Other than human beings who do not age well either.
Mm-hmm.
We all die eventually.
I think Falstaff is pretty funny in Henry V by William Shakespeare. Actually, but totally, like, Falstaff isn't funny in Shakespeare. But all the drama stuff ages perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. Because people are always going to be jealous and cruel and all those things stick up.
Yeah.
But, like, people aren't always going to be fucking... partying on Garth, you know, like
is that a swipe at a podcast of our friends?
It wasn't, but get me on there and I'll tear them to pieces. You know, it's comedy runs out quickly. There are very few old shows that are still good, and those LucasArts games do suffer from that because they were so focused on
true. So I don't know, was he asking what are the things that give us that nostalgia rush?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, should we address his these claims about Ocarina of Time objectively being the greatest game of all time.
If you take into context or into consideration the context of when it was released and what else was around.
I have no doubt that it is a top 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, how do you fucking compare that and a racing game and shit as well? Like, that's the dumbest thing with, like, video game stuff's tendency to have ordered lists, especially. People seem to want to go, what is the best game?
Yeah.
Like, there is no best game. Fuck off, it's Pac-Man. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's favorite games, and there's good games, and there's bad games.
I went through maybe...
Playing it once a year, though, I don't think I could be bothered to do
anything. I pretty much do that with Final Fantasy VII.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I definitely... Well, I played through Ocarina of Time again maybe 5 or 6 years ago or something like that and did everything.
Wow.
And really after that went, I can put this to bed forever now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's... I replayed it on the 3DS and he's right. That 3DS version was great. Yeah. Like, it looked... It looked how you remember the 64 version looking in your head, but you're remembering it from when you were a kid and how it looked in the context. Like, it looked so much better than anything else.
It put rose-colored glasses filter on.
Yes.
But I hated that 3DS version.
Why?
Because I thought it controlled really weird. I guess basically because it didn't feel like the old one.
Right.
You know, I didn't think it actually looked that good. I didn't like the changes in the art style they made.
No, did you not listen? It improved upon. So you're wrong, idiot.
Yeah.
I guess objectively I am. But
I've played The Last of Us.
Can we quickly?
Yeah.
Can we use this to open up a new... Here's what I want from the listeners.
Yeah.
I want more outlandish claims like this one.
Oh, yeah.
I want listeners, start sending us some of your fucking huge statements.
Yep. Yeah. What is your most outrageous belief? Yeah.
Yes. And we'll start addressing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Objectively speaking, in every category, it is the best game of all time.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I like it.
Yeah. So throw us your big statements over. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying Last of Us.
Last of Us, I'm going through my third playthrough, which is like almost yearly ish.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, I played Mario 3D Land like 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just so easy to pick up and whip through.
I've played a bunch of games multiple times, but not within the last couple of years, really.
Right.
I've found it more
too much comes out now, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, and there's so much stuff in the past that I missed out on that I'm like, well, I should fucking get around to this before, you know, I die.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
I don't want to be lying on my deathbed and not having played Banjo-Tooie all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what will my grandchildren think? Grandma, help!
It's such a recent thing for me, being able to let... Like, I used to never sell stuff. Like, I used to kind of... I'd finish it and hang on to it and go, no, but what if I want to play it again? And I would get too scared to kind of sell it. I was like, I bet the day after I sell it is when I'll go, no, I want to play this again.
Yeah.
And it was such a big turning point in my life to just accept and go, You can find it, or more likely, you're actually never going to end up getting around to it.
Yeah.
It's going to sit on the shelf and collect dust.
Yeah. It'll appear on the PlayStation Store for $19 and you might get
it. And I kind of think when they do get around to doing a re-release of something, it kind of makes it more exciting to play if you haven't played it since that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
If you've been playing that version pretty regularly, it means you can go through and kind of have a whole new experience with it.
Yeah.
I should start doing that because I played through all those Gears of War games. Realistically, I am never going to play them again.
Yeah.
But I
do you own them?
Yeah.
Like solid.
Yeah,
copies?
I got and oh yeah, I definitely
oh,
should.
Oh yeah.
The copy of Gears of War 4 came with them anyway as digital versions. So why the fuck would I keep the boxes? I'll tell you why. Because those boxes were there for me. When I needed them, they were there.
They are objectively the best boxes of all time.
Huge.
They are. One of them ended up getting all moldy.
What? A piece of plastic got moldy.
The paper inside.
Ah, I forgot about the paper inside.
It used to live in my old share house, which was a dump. And someone...
The box used to live in your old share house.
It
just
helped pay the rent.
It's sentient.
Wow.
No, it used to sit in a shelf somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting.
And someone spilled a drink on it, I guess, at some point.
Let me have a fucking flying guess who that someone was.
It wasn't me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then have a guess. Have a flying guess.
Your housemate.
You got it.
Yes.
Hey.
Shit, yeah.
Great new segment.
That place sucked because it was one of those places where you'll get home and three people you don't know are just fucking in there.
Yeah.
And none of your housemates are home.
Yep. That's literally like, what we're doing to my housemate right now.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you go in and you're like,
but we know your housemates.
Yeah, yeah, none of the people who actually live here are here, but here's three other people.
Oh, here's some of their friends are just hanging out. Yeah, that's weird.
They've just been here all day.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Are you not going to pick up any of those cans? Nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'll step over you while you're asleep. I lived in a drug den is what I'm saying. It was a shithole and, like, we accidentally locked the door to the kitchen. So if you wanted to go to the kitchen, you had to go around the whole rest of the house.
Amazing.
It was like having an outhouse kitchen.
Ooh. Amazing.
It was a massive fire hazard. And that just meant we had to leave the back window open all the time. Oh, anyone could have come in and stolen our microwave, I guess. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, that place sucked.
Cool.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember why we were talking about that.
We played a hell of a lot of Halo 3 there.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the thing I've... probably played the most multiplayer of ever.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're interested in me talking about video games on this video games podcast.
Not really.
I played Mario Kart 64 again last night and it did, yeah, it was like, it took me right back.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, nostalgia's, it is a really powerful thing and I think, yeah, it's not necessarily completely invalid.
Yeah.
Like people do, you're right, mock it a lot.
People treat it like it's this evil, like, yeah. or like it's bad to just like something because it reminds you of being a kid and being happy.
Yeah,
like,
what's wrong with having a memory?
And especially if you're aware of it, it's like they think they're like super woke for going,
totally.
The only reason you like Force Awakens is because you liked Star Wars when you're a kid and you're like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy liking this thing
I didn't just log on and go, why do I like this movie?
Yeah.
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 Any more? Do we have any more mailbag?
Nope.
I reckon we're about good to wrap it up. What do you guys think?
Hell yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. Yeah, hopefully we can get back into playing some games and have some more scalding hot takes for you in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we got a good episode next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adam, you got to plug your Perth dates.
Yeah, I'm in Perth right now. Come and find me and I'll fight you. I'm doing the 27th, 28th and 29th. So this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. At Noodle Palace in, I think, Northbridge. It's at 6 o'clock and it's called It's Adam and Eve, Not Adam Knox. It's a show where I'm going to do some stand-up for you. And I'm also in another show called Three Course Comedy Sometimes. And even if I'm not on, it's three other funny people. That show's worth going to.
Search Adam Knox on fringeworld.com.au and you'll find a list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have been a quicker way to say that.
Yeah, you're welcome. What do we got? At Filthy Cas Pod.
Yeah, Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com if you'd like to send us an email, one of those outrageous claims.
Yeah, I want to get into these next episode.
Yeah, I want that
as well. Make some huge statements.
Yeah, what are your very strong hot takes?
Outlandish remarks, and we'll critique them.
Specifically about video games. I don't want to get any emails where it's like, I reckon the moon was made up by the CIA.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, do send that shit too if you believe it. Why
I guess
not?
So, sure. Yeah. If you want to come and see what we three dickheads look like in real life,
yes,
come to our live show on April 22nd at 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets are at tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Yeah.
Tickets selling fast.
Nice. Thanks heaps for listening, guys. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
can I have a free one now?
Nice.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.